Welcome to Travel Market Life, your companion for industry insights and professional business development. Travel Market Life. Join us by webcast, video or podcast.
Hello and welcome to Travel Market Life. In today's episode, we're going to be looking at drip pricing, where a headline price is initially shown and additional elements are added throughout the checkout process. We're going to be joined by Richard Colley, Managing Associate, a consumer law expert at award-winning law firm TLT, last year winning Law Firm of the Year at the Legal Business Awards. It has particular specialism in the leisure industry, including advising on consumer regulatory matters. That includes advising companies in the travel and retail sectors during investigations brought by the Competition and Markets Authority. We'll be discussing drip pricing, what the government is planning to do, and the impact it can have on businesses.
Travel Market Life.
Joining me now is Richard Colley. Thank you ever so much for joining us today, Richard.
Hi, Ryan. Good to speak to you. Really happy to be on the show.
So, Richard, let's start off by actually looking at what is drip pricing. Can you simplify this idea for us, please?
Yeah, I'll try my best. In fairness, you've done a reasonable summary yourself there. The first thing to point out is that drip pricing doesn't carry any kind of legal definition. It really essentially is a kind of an informal description of a certain way of pricing products, and it's very common across a wide range of sectors. Essentially, it describes a situation where a consumer is searching for a product or service online, usually online. They see a headline price, they proceed through the checkout process, and by the time they get to the checkout, the price is increased from that headline price because of a range of different add-ons that have been dripped in throughout the process. Now, it's important to be kind of clear what those additional elements of the price are. Some things may be optional extras that the consumer can take it and leave it. Other aspects of it may be mandatory. So things that prices like, for example, a booking charge or administration charge that all consumers have to pay. It's that latter element that regulators are increasingly concerned about, and they're referring to them rightly or wrongly as junk fees, and they believe they should be included in the headline price. But obviously, you know, as you know, Ryan, it's really important to be kind of clear from the outset that here that a lot of products are by their nature bespoke and customized. I mean, take a package holiday, for example. Consumers often want options and choices and power to make that decision and to pay a price that reflects what they want. So yes, some prices may be dripped in those circumstances, but it's, I think we just obviously need to get things in perspective here when we're talking about drip pricing, because it captures some practices that are more harmful than others from a consumer law perspective.
Excellent. Thank you, Chris, Richard. I mean, it is fascinating, particularly with the way that e-commerce have evolved over the last few years, in particular competition between securing that direct booking and going through third-party providers. And I guess you see that much more when there's that highly competitive market environment. And we particularly see that obviously within travel, specifically across both flights and hotels. And it's certainly the role of metasearch. And I guess is that as well where you're starting to see it becoming more glaringly obvious, because you see a price at one point, maybe 79 quid, and then you see another price from another provider at like 24 quid. But then I guess when you get to the end of the bucket, the cart, then actually they could be very similar or identical prices.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good way of looking at it, because actually when you look at this from the perspective of the Competition and Markets Authority, which is both a consumer protection regulator and a competition regulator, price is and always has been the main driver of competition. And particularly when price comparison websites, metasearch providers, as you say, are enabling consumers to shop around more easily. That's one of the reasons why regulators are so keen to ensure that there's good competition, healthy competition for that headline price. And one of the things that's really interesting is that most of the, the two main investigations by the CMA to date that sort of touch upon drip pricing have both been in relation to sort of intermediaries. So Booking.com, Expedia, Trivago and I think there were 8 different hotel bookings websites that were subject to their investigation, which I think was 2019. But one of the issues there, where they were saying, what the CMA said is, look, you're not including mandatory charges. The headline prices that consumers are searching for don't include things like booking fees, resort fees, taxes that all any consumer is going to have to pay. So if it's mandatory, it's got to be in that headline price. Same with the CMA's investigation into car rental intermediaries. So again, when you're shopping around for your cheapest rental before you go on holiday, most people will go to some sort of a price comparison website. And the issue there was, when you rent a car, there's a number of overheads. Some of them are optional, some of them are not. And again, it's things like taxes that had to be included. Interestingly, in that particular investigation, they looked at sort of location specific charges as well. So, for example, if you're renting a car in a region where snow chains are mandatory, they said, well, look, you've actually got to include a warning saying that these charges will apply or may apply depending on the season. And things like where a child seat is mandatory again. The obligation was pushed onto the price comparison websites to make that clear to consumers when they're shopping around. So it's fair to say that this is obviously it applies through direct channels as well, not just digital comparison tools. But it's fair to say this is a sector, you know, in terms of travel and hospitality, that's already been in the CMA's crosshairs. So it's received scrutiny already.
And are we at risk of there being more regulation here? Is the government planning to bring in any sort of new policies? Will there be a ban? And you know, what might this look like?
Yes. Yes, is the answer to your question. With regards to drip pricing, the government has announced that it will introduce legislation to ban, again, as I said, what they see as junk fees, mandatory fees that consumers are always going to pay, which could, as I say, be sort of fixed booking charges, administration charges, service charges, those sorts of things. If whatever happens, the consumer's going to have to pay it. It needs to be the legislation will state that it must be included in the headline price, and failure to do so would be a breach of consumer protection law. And the kind of the double whammy here is that in the background, under the Digital Markets, Consumers and Competition Bill, or the DMCC Bill, the CMA, the main regulator, is going to be handed new powers, real game-changing powers. So the ability to impose penalties up to 10% of global turnover on companies that breach consumer law. So that's multi-million pound penalties, on a par with what we see for antitrust and competition breaches, where regularly, you know, for large corporates, you're talking massive fines. They can't do that at the moment. They generally tend. So the investigations I referred to before for online car rental and hotel booking, that was dealt with via kind of legally binding agreements with the company, sort of settled in a way. So no penalties were imposed. But if the same sort of situation were to arise once CMA gets these new powers, they could impose penalties, and that's without going to court. So for want of a better expression, the CMA are judge, jury and executioner, and you know, you can appeal the fine in the court if you want to, but these are real tough enforcement powers, and they can be used to enforce these new drip pricing rules and also just general consumer law. The only other thing just to sort of mention there in terms of drip pricing is that in addition to the ban on failing to disclose mandatory fees, there's also going to be a legal requirement to disclose the possibility that consumers will pay variable mandatory fees. So that might be a something that consumers definitely going to have to pay, but you can't calculate exactly what it's going to look like up front. In example, like a mileage charge for a car rental. Equally, some service charges do vary depending on the sort of the size of the booking and things. So if it can't be if you can't calculate what the fee is going to be up front, the law will say that you still need to say how it will be calculated so that consumers can make an informed decision before they go through the checkout process. So that is that captures, I say, the legislation that is definitely coming. Some of it's, I mean, the DMCC bill is going through Parliament now. It's almost finished going through the House of Lords. It's expected to come into force. Well, they've said later this spring, it's likely to be possibly a bit later than that now. The drip pricing thing, we've not seen the legislation yet, but it's possible that it'll be bolted into this DMCC bill. Either way, it is coming.
It's obviously becoming so much more complex as a consumer when it comes to buying. And there's a lot more of this sort of, yes, want to bring this transparency in. And you sort of look at these sort of like meta search and these comparison sites, and you feel that you're getting some sort of transparency there. But then obviously every company sort of prices itself differently, and you have to look into all that detail there. Are you seeing an increasing number of across sectors, particularly look more closely at pricing and the way that companies are sort of either sort of setting up their pricing frameworks, and are there much more discrepancies now than there ever have been?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because so much of these things are driven by consumer demand, and as I said before, consumers often like having options and specifications when they go through the checkout process. So, and each brand will have its own view on its own customers. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say there is more difference now between providers. And obviously that does make things more challenging from a competition perspective. But the thing is, what you need to understand is that while something may not be ideal from a regulatory perspective, ultimately the regulator's approach has to be balanced. It isn't there to stamp out practices that, actually may not, like I say, not, may not be ideal from a competition perspective, but actually from an individual consumer's perspective are not causing any real harm. So that's the balance. And I think that's why the legislation goes down the route that it does. So it's really zoning in on those real, say the mandatory fees that consumers can't avoid paying, the junk fees. It's much more fluid when it comes to this sort of the optionals and the specs and stuff that you sort of choose throughout the checkout process. The key there is just obviously transparency, just being clear. And it's obviously, if you are going to quote a headline price and there's lots of options involved, making sure that it's a sort of a from price, for example, rather than a sort of stated fixed headline price.
I was going to ask you, actually, the next question was really sort of what advice do you give to travel, hospitality, and tourism businesses about how to best manage their pricing, and in particularly in light of the new policies coming through, and what should they be considering when they're looking at pricing?
Yeah, I mean, we are working with a number of, certainly with our clients at the moment, because of this new legislation that's coming, we're advising that clients, not just in the travel and hospitality sector, but other sectors as well, reflect on their pricing models. And I guess the starting point is, well, what works for your customers? What works commercially? How do you want to set up your pricing? And then you test it. Obviously the first port of call is, are there any of these mandatory fixed fees that you're not disclosing in the headline price? And obviously we know the direction of travel with legislation there, they're going to have to be removed. But then it's looking at the wider choice that consumers have and how the pricing is structured. Is it clear? Is it transparent? When they're looking, there's always going to be a need to anchor consumers around a price point. And that's fine. But it's like, you need to look at whether that accurately reflects the likely end price. And, do you need to add disclaimer, sort of, I don't like disclaimer, because it's sort of, ultimately the obligation is about transparency. So, can information boxes that flag the existence of other potential charges, or, there's so many ways that you can creatively provide consumers with information that doesn't bamboozle them.
It's a whole psychology of pricing, which I think is, would take us down a whole new rabbit hole itself. And I'm going to have to look at getting a psychology pricing expert in. And that's where perhaps you and them be able to marry up what will work and what won't for businesses.
Yeah, we work with behavioural economists, and the CMA does. The CMA takes this stuff really seriously. So they've got a whole programme of works. And this feeds into it, actually, got what they refer to as online choice architecture. How you structure your sales process, and what psychological impact that has on consumers. They refer to these sort of nefarious terms like dark patterns and dark nudges, where you're sort of, you know, I think it's sort of assuming some sort of evil intent almost on the part of the company. But they are looking at that, you know, and it is something that they consider to be important. So, like I say, what they would say with the kind of the more harmful form of drip pricing is that actually you're putting that at the end because consumers are less likely to object to it if you put it there.
Because, I mean, there was a big issue, wasn't there, around sort of like restricting inventory and limiting the number of available places, or putting in time restrictions for how long you have or how much time is left, even though perhaps they had, you know, quite a bit of inventory left over, but they sort of made the market make it look like there is only restricted inventory available. And that was a particular issue that they've clamped down on in the last few years.
Exactly, yeah. And again, that's been looked at in the kind of the hotels sector in particular. They've got, the CMA has a couple of live investigations that look at urgency claims and pressure selling claims, countdown clocks that reset once they get to the end. But, you know, particularly with, I mean, the inventory point, again, you know, you raise a really good point. It's not a drip pricing issue, but it's just a general consumer protection pricing point. You need to be really careful if you're making those kind of claims like, you know, 10 customers are looking at this right now, hurry up, you know, again, those sort of psychological nudges. You know, if availability is genuinely limited and it's in the consumer's interest to know that, then that's fine. But one of the things they found, and particularly it's the investigations they're looking at now, which nothing to do with travel. I think interestingly, mattress online seems to be one of the things they've been looking at the moment, where actually there's no evidence that the products will have limited availability. So they shouldn't have been making those pressure selling claims, even the kind of the implied ones, which is sort of, you know, 10 items left or something. Basically the regulators expect a very high level of accuracy for those to be using those sort of techniques.
Fascinating. Really insightful there, Richard. Thank you ever so much for coming in and explaining all of that to us and delving a little bit more into the issue around drip pricing. It's been incredibly valuable for us today.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure to be on the show, Ryan. Thanks very much for having me on.
So that was Richard Colley, the Managing Associate for TLT, an award-winning law firm that looks deeply into some of these issues for travel and retail brought by the Competition and Markets Authority. I'm your host, Ryan Haynes. You can check more of our episodes and discussions on our podcast channel. Thanks for listening. Ciao for now.
For more, go to Travel Market Life. The Music Sensation by Zach Nelson is reproduced under license from Storyblocks. Travel Market Life is a Haynes Marcoms digital marketing agency production, serving the travel and technology industries.